I don't know if the band can hear me or not, but I look forward to worshiping with these young men for years and years to come. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for leading us into worship, man. It was good to sing to the Lord with you. Man, it's nice to be here tonight. It's good to see all of you. I get the privilege tonight of continuing our Hero series, and I'm excited. When we were actually talking about doing this series, I remember when it first came up, and we're kind of wondering who was going to do who. I said, I want to do Elijah. I want to do Elijah. And last night after the service, I was talking to somebody, and why hasn't anyone done a major motion picture on Elijah yet? I mean, really, the story is just phenomenal. Someone ought to. I mean, if you have a whole bunch of money and you're here tonight, man, you could really bank on that. I'm sure of it. The story about Elijah is amazing. It really is. Some of the things that God took Elijah through and showed him and taught him, lessons of faith, are amazing. They're incredible, and I believe they're all true. I believe everything in this book is true. God's word is true. And the stories in it, amazing. Old Testament stories are in there for you and I. And we have a choice right now tonight, you and I, each one of us, we have a choice whether or not we're going to allow God to teach us. Because it's God's word that teaches us. And every time you have an opportunity to hear God's word, you have an opportunity to hear from who? God, the creator of the universe. And that's why we're all here. That's why the rock even exists, because we want to talk about our God. We want to talk about Jesus Christ and what he's done for each and every one of us. And if you're at a place where you don't understand that yet, well, hang on. Let's talk about it. Let's learn from our God. And it's God's word that teaches us. So tonight, you have that choice. I suggest you make the choice tonight to be taught by God. And oftentimes, you might think, well, I've heard that. Or someone's taught on that before. You know what? God can take anything, and he can teach a teachable heart. Amen. As you humble yourself before him, and as I do. God will teach us. So I'm just going to open with the prayer, because I'm really dependent on God tonight to teach us. Father God, I do. This is your thing, God. We came here. We're submitted to you. We came here to seek you, Father God. We need you today, right now, in this moment. I need you, Lord God. I pray that you would speak through my lips, Father God. I pray that the words that I share tonight would come directly from you. I pray you'd take it and teach us, God. I pray right now for each one of us, you'd give us a teachable heart. God, soften my heart. Put away the day's troubles, God, so we might focus on you. Help us with that. And I just pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So we get to start talking about Elijah. Elijah comes onto the scene in 1 Kings. Is where we start hearing about this Old Testament character, Elijah. This whole hero series is about different people in the Bible, characters in the Bible, and we consider heroes from the Bible that we can learn from. We can glean from the different experiences in life that they had, and we see how they walked by faith in different situations, and you and I can learn from that. And I believe that's why God put those in the Bible. It's for us to learn from. So let's look at Elijah. Who was this guy? Well, for sure, Elijah was a prophet. Actually, it says in 1 Kings, an ordinary man, well, it doesn't say in 1 Kings, but Elijah was a prophet. He's an ordinary man in extraordinary times. In the New Testament, Elijah comes up quite a few times. Actually, in these first few verses I'm going to share are from the New Testament. So Elijah is still being talked about when the New Testament comes around. As Jesus suffered on an executioner's cross, onlookers thought they overheard him calling for Elijah to come help him. Someone immediately went to offer him sour wine to ease his pain. Others said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." Why Elijah? Who is this prophet who made such an impact on Israel that people are still talking about him hundreds of years later? Well, Elijah was a prophet. What is a prophet? A prophet is was someone that actually uttered the words of God. They didn't interpret God's will. They actually uttered the words that God gave them. And that's who Elijah was. God gave Elijah some words to tell different people. And that's who Elijah was. He's a prophet. Actually, in another place in the New Testament, in the Gospels, which I think this is amazing. Let's look at this verse. Just then, it's a transfiguration. Remember that part in the Gospels where the transfiguration of Jesus? It's in the New Testament. And they talk about Elijah. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Elijah was involved in the transfiguration. Remember that? Jesus' face, it says, shone like the sun. His face was brighter than the sun. And actually, his clothes became whiter than white. And from the Gospels, what the disciples said, the lights, it didn't come from above. All that light, all that didn't come. It came from within Jesus himself. His magnificence just glowed and radiated. And for somehow, some reason, at this time, Elijah and Moses come in the picture as well. And the disciples say, "Oh, he's talking to Elijah and Moses. Amazing." Okay, the transfiguration is rad. I'm going to have some Mac notes on here again. I don't want them to distract you, but I sure did get a lot of feedback from it last time. And Hayden has been teaching me how to use the word rad. So he's really been helping me out because he texts me verses all the time, bless his heart, to encourage me. And often he'll say, "Isn't that rad?" And I'm starting to get it. I think, and I'm sure that the transfiguration is rad. I'm sure of that. Elijah is also simply a man. Elijah was a man like you and me. Okay, let's look and see what James has to say here. Elijah was a man just like us. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. The verse before this, James writes, "The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And then he refers to Elijah. He says, Elijah was a man just like us. And James writes that. So Elijah was a man just like us. Just blows me away. So do you think that, you know, would Elijah stop for a Slurpee? I don't know. But he was a man just like us. You know, some of you guys from like to bowl once in a while. And I know some of you went to went bowling the other night. Caleb was telling me that John Stockton was just down the way a little bit bowling. You guys were all out bowling, and there's John Stockton. It's like, whoa, John Stockton, he's bowling. You'd think he'd be shooting hoops or something. But, you know, he's a real-life hero, really, especially here in Salt Lake City. John Stockton playing basketball. That guy's a phenomenal basketball player. He's a hero. But, yeah, he's just a man. I mean, he may even roll the gutter. I doubt it, but he... And actually, Elijah... Okay, let's personalize it. Elijah was not a whole lot different than you and I. Okay? So we can learn from that. We can learn from a man just like you and I who buys Slurpees and throws gutter balls. It's just an ordinary person. So the way he walks through some of these things, these situations that God gave him, we can certainly pay attention and learn from that same way. And it helps me, honestly, to think of Elijah as just a man. Certainly he's a hero, and we're still talking about him. I'm talking about a man out of the Bible today, but there again, he was a man. Elijah was a man. All right, let's continue on. I want to set the scene a little bit. There's 5 seasons from Elijah's life. If you'd like, there's notes in the bulletins that you can follow along with. But there's five seasons, and we all, I think, go through seasons in our life. There's different things God takes us through that are hard. Some are amazing, some are easy, some are beautiful, some are hard, some are difficult. But God takes us through different seasons, and as well, he took Elijah through a number of different seasons in his life. You know, and Elijah, really, he steps out of nowhere into a world. When Elijah arrives on the pages of the Bible, he steps into a world where, this is where it says about the verse before we talk about Elijah in 1 Kings 16:30 says, Ahab, son of Omri, did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any of those before him. So Elijah steps into a world where there's a king in charge that's done more evil, is in the process of doing more evil than anyone ever has before. And actually, a verse or two before that says Omri did more evil than anybody before him. So he's even topped his father. And the world has turned from God. The world has turned from God. And they're worshiping Baals. And more and more, fewer and fewer people are worshiping the one true God. So God decides, as he does on occasion, going to change things. So in steps are Elijah. And the first season we're going to talk about is season of courage. Can you imagine this ordinary man? God sets him on a mission. He says, go talk to King Ahab. He sends him to the halls of power of the day. Go talk to King Ahab. I want you to send judgment on King Ahab. I'm going to do it through you. So here's this guy. I'm going to go. Okay, here we go. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, from Tishbe is in Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there'll be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. So Elijah, we really don't know much about this guy, steps in and says, all right, King Ahab, and we're in a world that's just totally dependent on agriculture at the time. He says, okay, there's going to be a drought. It's going to stop raining. It's going to stop raining. And that's all the Bible tells us he says. He comes, God says, you go tell him that. So I'm thinking he needs some courage. It's like, are you kidding me, God? Okay, here we go. And so he just arrives on the scene, tells King Ahab it's not going to rain. There's going to be a drought. That's a serious threat. It's going to be a drought. Nothing. It's not going to rain. And I like what John Whitcomb, a Bible teacher, has to say. Like a meteor suddenly flashing across the darkened sky, Elijah appears on the scene without genealogy, without historical background, and without warning. One thunderous judgment from heaven through his lips, and he disappeared without a trace. That's our Elijah. He comes in and he tells, and then God says, you better get out of there. They're not going to like what you told them. They're not going to like that, man. You better get out of there. So God tells him to leave. But he arrives on, shares a judgment, and then he leaves. And that had to take courage. I like what Apostle Paul had to write about courage. One of my favorite verses, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage. Be strong. Often, God will place us in situations where we have to be men and women of courage. We have to step into it, trust our God, and encourage. Okay, God, you put me in this situation. Okay, my eyes are on you. We have to step into that. It takes a trust and a faith beyond what we're capable of. That type of courage. But this is where Elijah starts out. God's starting to teach him. Okay, how about a little courage here? Try that. Man, courage is doing, I like this quote by Eddie Rickenbacker, or Bacher. Courage is doing what you're afraid to do. There can be no courage unless you're scared. And I'm thinking our man Elijah was scared. In fact, he was probably thankful that on the next verse, God says, go. And we start the next season. God says, oh, season two, I'm going to train you. Okay, you leave. Leave King Ahab and everybody there. The drought is starting. He says, now I want you to go out in the middle of a desert to a ravine. Okay, I want you to go in the rough part of the desert, the hard part. I want you to travel out there and I'll take care of you. You just go out there in the middle of nowhere. Okay, God, I'll do what you tell me. Trust and obey. So that's what Elijah does. He goes out there. He goes here. Listen to this verse. Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kerith Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you. What? So, okay, it's already a dry climate. And God says, okay, go out to the hardest part of the desert, and that's where I'm going to take care of you. And again, that had to take some courage. That had to take some trust for him to go out here where there's a drought. Now it's not raining. He goes to this little brook that's going to provide water for him out in the middle of nowhere, and the ravens are going to feed him. Elijah had to trust God. This is a season of training. He didn't understand what's going on. He couldn't have. Oftentimes, I face things I think, I don't even know what's going on. And I'm sure many of you do too. But you know what? My God is faithful, and I can trust him in every single situation. He always comes through. Okay, I'll trust God. I'll trust God. I don't understand this. I'll trust God. And I think that's what we're called to do. And I think this is the season of training for Elijah. And it seems like God kind of likes the desert training exercises. He likes to take people out in the desert and really toughen them up a little bit. And that's what he's done to Elijah here. And then it continues here. Look at this verse. So he did what the Lord had told him. Good move, Elijah. He went to the Kerith Ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. They go from manna to ravens feeding him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. So there was water there. Sustained him. God provided for him. God came through in the most unusual way, I would say. You know, honestly, ravens are really just, they're voracious birds. I don't think they'd really give anything up. They're voracious birds of prey, would never naturally relinquish their food. They just wouldn't. Ravens wouldn't. They'd scavenge on everything. And he was, you know, Bible scholars would say, okay, he's in this training session. I'm going to call this boot camp out in the desert. Ravens are feeding him. That had to just miraculously, every time he flew, they flew in for, if it was a year, he's, there they come again. they're bringing me meat and bread again. I can't believe it. But then again, he's in a place where it's hard. Okay, we're in the drought, a brook. It wasn't really a river. It's just something that's kind of like a wash where eventually the water starts drying up. So Elijah is watching the water disappear. There's a drought. So there again, he's tested. He's trained. He's in a hard place. Oh, man, I know that water's going to run out. What am I going to do? Oh, here come the ravens. Maybe they'll bring me some. And God provides and trains Elijah. He's going through another season of life. Training 101. Trust and obey God. No matter what comes your way, no matter what comes my way, always go back to that manual. Always go back. Trust and obey God. What should I do here? Man, I'm up against something hard. What should I do? I don't know what to do. Oh, yes, I do. Trust and obey God. God taught me that. Trust and obey God. Okay. I can always go back to that. No matter what happens. If you're in a car accident, no matter what it is. If you're addicted to drugs, trust and obey God. Trust and obey God. It's the only way you're going to get out of it. Trust and obey God. We can always come back to that. We can learn. That's what our hero did. This ordinary man. Trust and obey God. Trust and obey God. And that's what he did. So now we enter into a season of faith with our hero Elijah. And things really get interesting. God actually tells him to leave again. He tells him to move on. He's been in the desert. He's probably happy to move on. But God comes to him and tells him to move on. I like this. He says, the next test here is in, and we're still in 1 Kings 17, but in the season of faith, he really kind of cranks it up. God starts training Elijah. Again, he says, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, now just imagine this. Now in the day, if there was a drought, and there had been a drought for a year, and the one place that you wouldn't want God to send you to was a widow. Because in that day, the widow would have nothing. Nothing. The men provided. And she was a widow. She didn't have anyone providing for her. God says, well, okay, now we're gonna come out of the desert, and I want you to go be with a widow. And this is his training of faith. God's taking him a step further. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Just tell him, okay, you understand, I don't have any bread. Matter of fact, I have a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And these were hard times. She was at the end of her rope. I can just see through this. She's at the end of her rope. You know what? And Elijah asks her for food. She's got to be looking him in the eye and says, you know what? What I do have, you know what? I'm going to go make a last cake here for me and my son. And then we're going to die. Because those are the times we're in. They're just hard, Elijah. But this is where Elijah was sent, to the widow. And she, you know, the widow doesn't mince words. She just tells it to him. That had to have been hard. But the faith lesson intensifies. See, God came through in this particular situation. We're going to move on, but God came through. He actually did provide time and time again. The oil and the flour, the little cup of oil and a little bit of flour, it never ran out. So again, miraculously, God teaches Elijah a faith lesson. Elijah, as long as you trust me, as long as you trust me and obey me, I'm going to provide. Every single day, the widow, now his faith's growing. God's saying, we're going to make your circle a little bigger here. Okay, now there's a woman involved and her son. And I want you to help them trust as well. And I'm going to show you that I will come through. And he came through and he fed them day in, day out. So in the drought, everyone else is starving to death. And here the widow and the son and Elijah are probably gaining weight. Walking around the city, hey man, how's everybody doing? So another faith lesson. God comes through and provides. Because I'm not through with you, Elijah. So he's continuing to teach Elijah a lesson. And often when God comes through and shows us different things, it doesn't necessarily get easier. You know, in this Christian walk of faith, it's not necessarily a joyride. Oftentimes, things get really, really hard. But that's all part of it. That's part of our season of faith that God is kind enough to take us through. I'm going to take you through some hard things. And look what he does here. In this next verse, in verse 17 and 18, sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. He said to Elijah, what do you have? Or she said to Elijah, remember, she's been provided for. She's been fed. Her and Elijah probably have a close relationship now. She probably loves him. A brother and sister in faith, watching the Lord work in their life. But how would you react? He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, what do you have against me, man of God? What do you have against me? Man of God, did you come to remind me of my sin and to kill my son? She's feeling guilty for her own sin, and she thinks this man of God is punishing her for her sins. And I'm sure she's just torn. This is a hard place to be. This is a hard thing in her life. She's lost her son. He died. And her faith is tested beyond, and Elijah's as well. Elijah doesn't understand the situation. They're just looking at each other. What is going on here? And in tenderness, she has her dead son in her arms. And in tenderness, Elijah takes the son from her. He carries him to an upper room. He prays to God. He doesn't know what else to do. He cries out to God. God, help here. I'm trusting you. I'm obeying you. And I know you are the answer. Elijah did not lose sight of that. Certainly is confused. I know he was scared. And I know the widow was scared. Elijah just, he took her. He took the boy up in the upper room and says he laid on him three times. He cried out and prayed to God to bring life back to him. And he came back to life. The boy, the widow's son, Elijah raised him from the dead. Well, God actually did, but Elijah prayed and asked him to come back to life. Prayed to God, breathe life back into his soul. And God did. And Elijah brought the woman's son back to her. Oh, my. Their faith had to grow. Elijah would need this faith, you'll see in a minute. He would need this faith. God is training him. You and I, we might need faith. There's probably a perfectly good reason we're going through some of the hard things we are. We might need that. Most likely we will. And God loves us so much that he gently, step by step, teaches us, shows us. Another season. Let me help you out in this season. I'll come through because God always comes through. His faithful love endures forever. He will always come through. No matter what you're up against, God will always come through. You can count on God. That's the one thing in your life that you can count on. God. Always to come through. And we need to learn that in our faith. We need to learn that God is the one and only that I need my eyes on. And he's the one and only that's going to steer me through this. When we get distracted by the world, we have so many voices slamming us constantly. But God always comes through, and he came through for Elijah here and the widow. And Elijah's faith grew in this season of faith. Trusting and obeying does not exempt us from problems. There can be problems in this life. And there will be. But God has a plan for that. And he's going to use that to build our character, to strengthen us, to build our faith, to teach us, to show us what we need, to equip us. That's our God. He's so good to us. So let's continue on to another season of conflict for Elijah. Probably my favorite. Bill touched on this when he showed us his pictures from Israel in Mount Carmel. Talked about, that's where it happened. That's where the conflict was. Well, I want to touch on this again. So our hero has been through some things. He had a little bit of boot camp out in the desert. He's been with the widow. And God sends him to another place. He sends him to another place. He says, okay, I want you to go back. Okay, the drought's been for 3.5 years. He says, I want you to go back to King Ahab. What? That's the dude? No. Guys, I want you to go back now. I want you to go back and talk to him again. It's been 3.5 years of drought. I'm thinking Ahab's pretty teed off. And he thinks Elijah's gone out of the scene. And Elijah shows back up. That took courage. That took faith. That took trust and obey, because God told him to go back. So he did. Every time, God, I've trusted and obeyed, and again, that's the answer. Okay, I'm going to do it again. But he's changed. He's a little more seasoned. He's seen some things. He's seen some amazing things. His faith is a little more stout, a little more unwavering. Oh my, is it ever? So he steps into this scene. He says, And this is Ahab when he saw Elijah, he said to him, "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" So he's come back, and Ahab sees him. "Oh, man, I've been waiting for this guy to come back. Is that you, O troubler of Israel?" "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family have. You have abandoned the Lord's commands and have followed the Baals. You brought this on yourself." Elijah, you've become a man. And he steps into it. Talk about conflict. Whoa, Elijah. It's all right. You know what? You're the one who brought this on. I just told you what God told me. And he draws a line in the sand right then and there. He says, let's have, build a couple of different altars here. Let's have a little thing here. Elijah says, okay, I'm going to build an altar over here. And you build an altar over here. And all the prophets of Baal, you bring them on. Okay, let's settle this once and for all. All the prophets of Baal, you bring them on. And you guys prepare a sacrifice and you call on Baal. And as a matter of fact, bring your Asherah friends too. Okay, all those guys have been worshiping Asherah. Okay, all 400. So 850 people. And Elijah says, you call on your God and I'll call on the one true God. Today we'll know who is God. And the people, they thought, this was good. That's good, bring it on. We love sport. Bring it on. So Elijah went before all the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? Now he addresses all the people. He just finishes challenging Ahab. He says, let's get it on. And now he tells all the people, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people said nothing. They were deceived. The people of the land, his day and age, were deceived. They did nothing. So you guys know how the story goes. Elijah lets the prophets of Baal go first. And let's them pick the bull that they want. So they pick a bull and they get it all. These guys are good at sacrificing. They know how to do that. So they put the bull and they cut it up and they put it on their altar. And they do everything just right. And they have just the right thing. And there must have been, 850 of them lined up. And they're all looking at each other like, here we go, man. They start calling. And Elijah says, go ahead and call on your Baal. Call on him. So they did. They started calling, oh, Baal, come and accept the sacrifice. And they cried out to him. And time went and nothing happened. Time went on, nothing. They started getting more intense. Went on. Come on, Baal. Oh, nothing happened. Elijah steps on the scene, starts mocking them. It's like, it must have been, I don't know. He said, hey, guys, how's it going? Where's your Baal? Where's your Baal? Maybe he's went on a trip or something. Maybe he's gone. What's going on? Maybe you need to try harder. And he just kind of mocks them. And they go into a frenzy and they start cutting themselves to call on their Baal. And just nothing happened. Nothing happened. Elijah says, okay. And you've had your shot. Okay, let's go over here. So Elijah takes, and he builds his altar and his sacrifice. And they were good at this, remember? And he has his bowl all cut up, and the altar's just right, and I'm sure there's wood and all this. And Elijah goes, I'm going to go a step further. And he digs a trench all the way around it, and he fills it with water. And then they take and he orders them to dump water over the whole thing. So they douse it. So they got water all over the thing. And then he says, do it again. So they do it again. Elijah says, do it again. So this thing's soppy wet. Soppy wet. And listen to this prayer that Elijah prays to his God. and kings. It's Elijah's prayer. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their heart back again. And what did God do? And note that Elijah didn't even ask for fire. He didn't even ask for fire. He said, God, show yourself today. You are my God. I know you're real. I've seen you. You've seasoned me in faith through all these different things you showed me. You are God. He planted his flag, and God showed up in a mighty way and licked up every little tiny thing with fire. Just whoop. Just like a marshmallow that's been in the fire too long. Just whoop. And it's gone. God showed up on the scene for Elijah. Again, a huge boost of faith. Matter of fact, everyone said, your God is God. So all the people on that day anyway turned to God. It's from Elijah's faith, what they saw and how they saw God answer his prayer. So all the people then turned to God. And Elijah has orders all these people, all the prophets of Baal and Asherah, he has them killed by the sword. They're all killed, all 850 of them. What a day. What a day in the life of our hero. And there he was in a season of conflict. This guy's acting like a hero. He was. But oftentimes, what can happen when we get excited, been on a conference high, maybe some of you women can relate to this. You went to a conference, you heard, you took, made a choice to hear God's word up in SS Park last week, and God spoke to your heart. Maybe you had an opportunity to walk out into the mountains in his creation, and he actually spoke to you and changed your life, and you're like, I'm never going to be the same. This God's amazing. He just showed himself to me, and you're on this conference high, and like, oh my, my God's amazing. But often, you know what Elijah did? He was so excited about all this, he ran ahead of King Ahab. Actually, it says in the next verse, I don't want to forget this part. I don't know if it really fits in here, but I just love this. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he tucked his cloak in his belt, and he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. He was so excited. He had just seen God at work. He ran up, it says he ran up Mount Carmel again. He ran back down. He ran all the way over there. So he gets to where he's going, and he's tired. But he's got this conference high going. Oftentimes, for you and I, that's when something goes horribly wrong. Like the Wyoming Highway Patrol, and Satan knows that. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for an opportunity, because oftentimes we expend all this energy on seeking our God, and we can get worn out. We can get tired. We can. And God knew that for Elijah too, and he helped Elijah out a couple times. I'm not going to go into detail, but he actually provided for Elijah again to help him to get where he needed to go. He provided for him again. But oftentimes, that's when we stumble. We think, I've got it made. I've just talked to my God. Oh, man, I got a Holy Spirit thing going on. And then we get back. You know, some of you ladies, you may have came back home to dirty diapers. It was hard. And there's an analogy I want to make of a little story that my son was involved in. We've been doing church campouts, and we're doing it again this year. Every year, I think we've gone for 6, maybe 7 years, we've gone for church campouts. So my kids have kind of grown up in these church campouts every year. They're getting much bigger, but they're good. And my son Colin and his friend Philip, last year, were at the church campout And for years and years, they've been together, them and all their buddies, and you know, some of the guys playing in the band tonight. Always they go up and have sword fights and build forts, and every year that camp out's just been amazing for them. I've just been kind of envious watching them out there fighting together. One year we actually got in and helped with the fort thing, showed them how to do it. But it was, but it was good. So they're having a good time, and of course, my son and Philip are there. They're 17 years old. So last year they were 16 years old, and at 16 you're strong. You know, honestly, you're just wired. You can go around. And they thought, you know what, we're going to do tomorrow morning, and we're going to climb up a mountain. We're up over by Mapleton. There's a little campground there. And of course, in Utah, whenever you go for a hike, you got to go up before if you're going anywhere really. For sooner or later, you're going to go up. So they decided, well, tomorrow morning, you know what? Let's go and see the sunrise from up there. So that's what they did. They slept in the back of a pickup that night. I don't know if they even slept, but so early in the morning they go trompsing up this mountain. They went climbing, excited. They're probably high five and just feeling their 16-year-old vim and vigor and going up the mountain. And they get all the way up there. And the sun hasn't come yet. They did it. They beat the sunrise. I don't know if my son's ever been up that early before. And they beat it. They beat the sunrise. And sure enough, a spectacular sunrise. I've seen pictures of it. They took some pictures. Sure enough, God was faithful and showed them this magnificent sunrise. And they're like, oh, look at this sunrise. We're 16 and we're seeing it. And I don't know, maybe if you're a man, maybe you gals too. I've been there. I've done that before, a time or two in my life. I felt so alive. And I know these young guys did too. And so pretty soon that kind of wore off, and the sun's been up for a little bit, and they got to come back down. Got to come back down the hill. So they started coming back down. They started walking back down the hill. And in this place, I've kind of renamed it Philip Falls. Because it's kind of where Philip fell, so there's not a waterfalls up there if you ever go up there. But so Philip's, they're coming back down the hill. It was Colin and Philip and Austin, another good friend of theirs, and they're coming back down the hill. And Philip starts to stumble. Okay, remember this is a steep hill. It's a steep hill, and Philip starts to stumble. He's with his buddies, and then he tries to catch himself by running, and then pretty soon he's going end over end. And you know the horror picture I have in my mind of little Philip flopping down that hill. And then the first miracle happened. My son has phone reception. The one time I was really glad that he had a phone and there was reception. And he called me. He's, you know, bless his heart, he was scared. And Austin was scared talking to his dad. He's saying, Philip's hurt really bad, Dad. We're going to help him down here now. And I said, well, you know, tell me where you're at, and I'll try to get over there. And you know, I love the way those three young men really handled it. And they worked it out. They helped each other. They kind of just clung together. You know what? One foot in front of the other. We're just going to help him down the hill. Let's do it. So they did. And I talked them through it, and I figured out where they were, and I got some people, and we drove over to the bottom of the hill, and Jeff Porter was there, and we watched him kind of come down on him, thinking, oh, man, he doesn't look so good. You know, can't see him. And sure enough, he was beat up. He was busted up and got to the bottom of the hill, and Colin and Austin, and you know, their eyes were like, because can you imagine your best friend, they thought he was dead. I mean, when you finally stopped flopping, he didn't move. And so they were pretty terrified and get to the bottom of the hill, and Jeff's there, and we check him out. And yeah, he had cracked rib, busted wrist, he had abrasions, he had stitches in his head, I think he got. He was pretty smacked around. We put him in our van and drove him to emergency care in Springville, and we drove up in there and kind of helped him in. He's bleeding all over the place. And I said, well, you know what? You better take him to the hospital. Okay, so we took him in there, and his parents actually weren't going to come up to the camp out to the next day, so I'm talking to them on the phone, say, yeah, he's okay, you know, imagine you're a parent, and your son fell down the hill this morning, and I'm taking him to the emergency room. Other than that, it's all good. So we finally get to Provo, to the emergency center, and they're working on him, you know. He's kind of in shock, for sure, and I'm sitting there with him, you know. I love Philip. We're good friends, but I really didn't see him really feel secure until his parents walked in. And I just saw it in his face, just a sense of relief. Oh, Mom and Dad are here. You know, Christian, you and I, we need that. That's just a picture of me to a family of believers. You and I, we need people in our lives. And I think it's just a good analogy of what can happen. We can get excited and thinking, you know what? I'm a Christian stud. I just went to this conference, and then something comes along and just whack. Or some temptation, and we're like, I'm right over here. I'm following that. We need to be in fellowship. You and I, we need the family, the Christian fellowship. And that's what Elijah kind of missed here too, as he takes off running. He's coming off of this conference high, for sure. He's on conference high, and he's all of a sudden something happens, though, for Elijah. And he falls into a season of frailty. It can happen just like that. This is 3 days later after he watched God toast everything like a marshmallow. 3 days later, he's like in despair. Oh, and it can happen just like that. You and I, typically the battle that we fight that's the hardest is in our mind. And we can step into a season of frailty just like Elijah did. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Ahab tells wicked Queen Jezebel, you know what? He killed everybody. He killed them all. And she's upset. May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like the one of them. Jezebel says to Elijah, you tell him that. You tell him I'm after him. Queen Jezebel wants Elijah's head. Elijah hears this. And what happens is he gets scared. He fears man instead of God. And God's told him to go to all these different places. 4 different places God asked him to go. This time he doesn't ask him, and he takes off running. So Elijah takes off running. He takes off. Let's look at this verse. Elijah was afraid, understandably so, but he got his eyes off his king. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. Mistake number one, why go alone? It's a mistake we often make in pride, I think. So we think that we can do it alone instead of letting someone else into our lives. So he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. This is 3 days later. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. I'm no better than my ancestors. Just kill me. End it. End it, God. That's the despair that he was at. That was his own battle in his mind. Elijah, remember, was a man just like us. And here he is fighting a battle of his life in his own mind. He was fearing man instead of looking to God. So God is kind to him. Again, it's foolish to go alone. That's one step as Elijah's making decisions on this running away in fear. He decides to go alone. Don't go alone, Christian. Don't go alone. Don't let pride blind you enough to think, you know what? I'm just going to hole up here in my own little Christian bubble and I'll have my own little religion here. And that's what happens when you're alone. You can come up with your own religion that has let you do the things you like to do. I think I'll do some of this and some of that. No, we need other people in our life that checks and balances to help us through this walk, through this season that we might be in. And that's where Elijah made a mistake. But God shows up. Of course, he always comes through. There he went into a cave. Elijah went into a cave, spent a night, and the word of the Lord came to him. The words God spoke to him again. What are you doing here, Elijah? This is one place that God did not tell him to do, is to go to this cave and hide out. And Elijah goes, oh God, I'm the only one left. I'm the only one that really believes in you. I'm alone. I'm the only one. I stood for you. I was there. And I raised your name on high. And I'm the only one now. In despair, he cries out to God. So God shows him some things. I don't want to see that yet. So God shows him some things. God sends wind. Wind so powerful, he says, come out to the end. I want to show you something. Second time, God comes to him. I want to show you something. He comes out and the winds are blowing so hard that rocks are bursting. That's a strong wind. Things are exploding in front of him. And God shows him an earthquake. The earth splits open. You ever been around an earthquake? Me neither, but I've seen them on film. It's just like, they look amazing. The earth just busts open. It just busts open. And then fire. God sends fire. Fire is amazing. It just burns things up. It can actually feed on itself for energy. And then God was not in any of those things. But God came to Elijah, his servant, in a whisper. A whisper, Elijah. Elijah said, Elijah went through his litany again. He said, oh, I'm the only one. He said the same thing. I'm the only one, God, that stood up for you. In a whisper, God says, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You know, Elijah, in despair, he said, I cried when I had no shoes. It's been said, I cried when I had no shoes, then I met a man who had no feet. And God actually just shares truth with Elijah. Elijah thought he's alone. He said, yet, God told Elijah, yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him. God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? I have things for you to do, okay? Let's get up from here. Let's just wash away. Here's the truth. There are people. You are not the only one. And I need you to go out and anoint a couple kings. And I need you to train up a protege, Elisha. I need you to train someone. He said, come on. So God washes away his despair with truth. You're not alone. And I have things for you to do. He got his eyes off of himself. So God says, get your eyes off of yourself. There's a whole world out there. That's what happens. Is it's all about me and my selfish thing and my problem. And it's, oh, I'm just poor me. And then oftentimes for me, that's what happens to me. And I realize, oh, wait a minute. I've got to get my eyes off of myself. I've got to get my eyes off of myself. And God helps us with that. And once we do, things start to make sense. God puts us to work and we serve our God again and we're running hard again. All right, God, show me the next season. Show me the next big one. What's going on next? Let's go, God. Let's do it. Let's win more people. Let's build more people up. Let's send the sanctified. Come on, God, let's go. Let's go. And God always comes through. You know, each and every one of us, we need to have maybe our own little personal standoff with the Baals. Maybe you've never even taken the time to make your stand and say, what do I really believe? God, show me you. Help me with my faith. God, you show me who you are. Save me if that's what you do. God, if you are God, show yourself to me. Maybe even just at a personal level, you and I need to do that. We need to have faith like Elijah. Maybe you're a brand new baby Christian and your faith is just, maybe God's given you the gift of faith. Life really is pretty sad without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, is what the Bible tells us. Faith. Where is your faith? Where is my faith? Is it enough to speak up? You know, last night in Provo, two more people came to know the Lord. God called him into his kingdom. We cannot take that for granted. Where is our faith? You know, I would like to take the stadium of fire and do one of those sacrifice things. You know, every day we have an opportunity to say, you know what? Can I tell you about my faith? Can I tell you what my God has done for me and these through my seasons of life? Do we have faith or not? Do you believe in God or not? Are you just living in the world and consuming? Am I? Are we just here to consume? No, we're not. God wants us to live for our faith. He wants our faith to be the most important thing in our life. The thing that gets me out of bed in the morning, the thing that keeps me up late at night. It's my faith in one and only, Jesus Christ, and that He really did die for me. He really did die for you. Be men and women of faith. If you don't understand this whole faith thing and God, and you want to start a relationship, you want to understand that, I'd love to talk to you. There are hundreds of people in here who would like to talk to you about their faith. Let's have conversations about our faith tonight. After we finish up here tonight, let's settle it. Let's talk about it. Certainly we can have disagreements, but our faith needs to be out in the open. It needs to be part of us. My faith. I'm convicted as I watch my hero Elijah, because I've seen God do some amazing things. And I'm without excuse. And most people are. Even if you look at the creation, God created that for you. That's enough to shout it out loud. Juice washes away despair. There's one last point here I want to make. I know I'm going a little long, but I just love this ending for Elijah. As they were walking along and talking together, this is Elijah and Elisha, that's his protege, who God asked him to train, to follow up, to continue his ministry. Elijah got his eyes off himself and started pouring his life into Elisha. And one day, Elijah tells Elisha, I'm dying today. I'm going away today. I'm going away. I'm gone. This is it. It's the end of the story. I'm leaving just like I came in. One day I came in, went and talked to Ahab. This day, I'm leaving. And Elisha's like, oh, okay. There's one thing I want to ask you, Elijah. Can you just ask God, would you just bless me? Ask God to bless me with a double portion of your spirit. I want to see twice as much happen as you do. And Elijah tells Elisha, if you see me leave today, it'll be so. It'll be that God answered that prayer. And what does God do? Look at this, man. As they were walking along and talking together, Elisha and Elijah, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Woo! That's riding off into the sunset. Maybe that'd be a Harley for you, I don't know, but man! Fiery horses and a fiery chariot? I'm down with that. Man! God didn't have to do that. But He did. Let's close in a prayer. God, we love you. We thank you for the life of Elijah. God, we thank you for that. Thank you that we can learn some things from him. God, basically just Christianity 101, Father God, is to trust and obey you. God, if we walk away with anything today, God, seal that in our hearts. Help us to be men and women of faith, Lord God, tonight. Tonight, put the things of you, our King, on our mind. We might talk about you after the service tonight. Not only amongst ourselves, but to others, God. Help us to live a life of faith. Thank you for the different seasons you take us through, God. Help us to keep our eyes on you. Help us to stay in the fellowship, in the body of believers. Help us to be with other men and women who love you, God. I just thank you, God. Help us to humble ourselves and look to you every day, day in and day out. And I just thank you, God, that you are so good to us. And I pray that in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.